We are millions of times over, millions of times over grateful to Allah that on this great night of Shaban, the month of Shaban, Allah Ta'ala has given to us the opportunity to remember Him. And what our objective of life is, إليه المصير, that one day we are to return to Him, to Allah. Definitely we are to return to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is giving us the opportunity to prepare for that. So for preparing, for preparation, the most important thing that the pious predecessors have told us, whatever I say in this, there's not even one word is mine. All of my words are from the reference of our pious predecessors. It's not my habit that I keep on repeatedly give references of kitabs or books or etc. So what you should understand when I speak, if somebody has to ask, then take their reference from me, I'll tell you. But understand that whilst I'm talking, I less frequently use references or give references. So don't think that I'm just speaking from my own self, or this is my thought or my opinions or ideas. I am not capable at all. And this is your favor and blessings that you sit for some time and you sit through and listen to what I say with patience. And I don't have that capability status that I give lectures or speeches or I explain and tell people. Anyway, it's just a duty I've been assigned that I am fulfilling. Alhamdulillah, I pray that Allah Ta'ala accepts our sitting. The rest is that we don't have some very special majlis or gathering, just broken down words, but they are very valuable and precious, subhanAllah. Let me tell you this. They are that precious because they are words that have been heard from precious people. Great personalities with whom alhamdulillah Allah gave me the tawfiq of sitting in their majalis, in their gatherings. And mashallah, my mind was acclimatized to what they said. And we repeat this and revise this in Allah's fadl, His karam, His grace, that He allows us to do this. Look, 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, the words, the experiences, and to have yaqeen and belief in those words, and to have love for that. And then mashallah, you excellent people are sitting here. Then we have nur, light beyond light, due to that combination. So we are traveling towards our destination and we have total hope. This is halakha, this gathering will also get together in paradise inshallah. With Allah's blessings, have hope, because this is not something that will end. Remember this, these are eternal things. The great hadith that whoever you love, and thereafter you will be with those people or with that person. Subhanallah. So if we have love with the dhakireen, those who do dhikr, then inshallah we will sit with them. And inshallah the gatherings in Jannah will be fantastic. Fantastic, unique gatherings there will be in Jannah. Am I right or am I wrong, brothers? So this is a great blessing and grace of Allah upon us. So what I was saying was, brothers, is that for preparation, the most important thing is to protect the heart. All success and everything is based on the heart. If somebody has a lot of money, wealth, then his wealth and his status is due to his wealth, his pomp and status. So he protects his wealth. If there's a king, his status and glory is due to his country. So he protects the country. I don't want anyone to attack the country. That's why he makes an army. That's why he has an army and troops. That's why he has weapons. In older days, the kings, proper kings, we don't have kings now, and kingdoms. So why did they have armies and troops and weapons? For this reason, so what they desired was that we can protect ourselves. So our status remains as king, as the leader, as the ruler. So we have a status related to the hereafter, alhamdulillah, So we want to make our hereafter, we want to make our akhirah. So remember one principle really strong, one point has come to my mind, so understand it. Understand this point. What's the point? To protect the heart. So this is our kingdom, the heart. Just like a king, what's his most precious thing is his wealth. And our biggest wealth is what? Our heart. That's our biggest wealth. Asset is our heart. So everything I've said up to now is correct, yeah? Okay, shall we continue? Okay, we'll continue. So obviously, to protect everything, there should be something that protects everything. So when you protect it, when you look after it, So alhamdulillah, then the benefit comes of that thing. The benefit thing comes of that thing. When you protect it and you take the benefit from that thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the protection of the heart, He has mentioned some points in the Quran. And I really like those points, mashallah. And I'll share those points with you. I was just reading today. I thought, okay, I'll share that with you. I'll speak about that with you. I was reading Surah Maidah, and that, in this chapter, Surah Maidah, this verse came. I thought, it's a very great thing. Look, all day, year, lifelong, a person reads. But when Allah explains, that's when a person understands. So, as I said, it's not from me. Everything I'm telling you is according to the Mufassireen, the Tafaseer, the commentaries, the commentators, the pious people. It's not that I'm saying what I think. So Allah Ta'ala said a beautiful things with regards to the protection of the heart. That to protect the heart, the first thing that one needs, what does the Quran say? Amanu. Amanu. This is the verse of the Quran, yeah? Iman. You need faith. Belief. In whoever's heart there is no iman, then he is finished. Destroyed. He has no wealth. No wealth. Allah Ta'ala has given a heart to every human being. Why? Because don't people have heart operations, people have kidneys. For example, if you have an organ, then you can have a transplant. You don't see what religion does he belong to, is he? That kidney fits into the body. It does, doesn't it? From whoever it comes. So likewise, everyone's given to every human being the same heart, type of heart. But not everybody protects it. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy on us is the first thing Allah Ta'ala has given for the protection of the heart is amanu. What is that? Amanu. Faith. Faith. Because with iman, a person protects the heart. First step. Then to protect iman. So first, you protect the heart with iman. Iman is a wealth, you have to protect that. So for that, Allah says in the Quran, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So understand step by step. So first you need faith to protect the heart. To protect faith, Allah says, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. If you want to protect your faith, your iman, which will protect your heart. So how do you make the heart? With iman. Whoever has even a small light ray of iman in his heart, then he is greater than the rest of the world. Compared to those who don't have iman. Take the big shots of the world, scientists, kings, rulers. Compared to that, you have a person with the minutest amount of iman. Alhamdulillah, he is great in the akhir. That person. So try to pull, shaitan tries to steal our iman. That's his objective. He doesn't say anything. He says, I don't want you to have one light ray of iman in your heart. Not one thought. Then he instills thoughts into your mind. Remember this. Puts waswasa into your heart, into your mind. He injects doubts and whispers that even I don't want him to have a light ray of iman left. Shaitan says, whenever you have waswasa, and when the shaitan attacks your iman, and he tries to weaken your certainty in yaqeen. This happens to everybody. Happens to everybody. Many people experience this. So when shaitan injects you with wasawis, so what's zikr? It's not important. What's all this? Why is the Quran say this? Why is this written in the Quran? All attacks of shaitan. Because he has formulas and methods and techniques. What's this? Why is this? Oh, this is a waste of time. Openly people, blatantly, the papers are full of these things. Today the papers are printed from Muslim countries and programs that are advertised and published from Muslim countries. Those people who do Hajj and Umrah. Their thoughts I'm sharing with you. Their thoughts. Today, though, to criticize Islam and look down, Islam has become a fashion amongst society. Everyone thinks that he's an intellectual that take any verse of the Quran. And you will see this in the media. They will tell you this. You will read this full of these things and events. Yaar, why is this not allowed? This is not necessary. Oh, Islam says this, but this is not necessary, etc. So, where have they got ilm? They have no knowledge. They haven't read kitabs. They haven't studied. But they have followers, these people. Such names that I am amazed when I hear that person's name. Doesn't even know, hasn't learnt and sat down, learned the deen, not in a Darul Uloom, no institute, has no nisbat, no connection with anybody who's learned it. But they're telling the people of the world about deen, because this is the sign of Qiyamah, my friends. The sign of Qiyamah. So we need to save our faith. How do we save our faith? Those people who passed before us, the walis of Allah, our pious predecessors from the old generation, their iman was very strong. Their iman, so just follow those people. Just follow those people. Don't give reference of this modern day and age. Don't take what I'm saying negatively. Don't give the reference of anyone in this day and age. Don't fall into that trap. Those people who are the pious predecessors who passed away before us. The generations before us, those people were the mazboot, the strong, the great people. Allah gave them understanding, akal, wisdom, knowledge. Allah gave them. So in front of us, they are the people who are our guides, and we should be the followers of those people. We should follow them. Don't look around here. Why? Just follow them and stick to them, that this is the right path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Why? Because if we don't protect our iman, and waswasa comes into us, then we'll say that we have faith, we have belief. That all the people who criticize today Islam and the principles of Islam, etc., it's a common thing today. Before, there weren't these issues of hazir, nazir, etc. People argued over these things, but today the society has gone even beyond that. Worse than that, a minute person stands and says, how can this be in Islam? How can this be, this is a must to do, this is not in our deen, etc. And he has no knowledge of Islam, and his Islam has gone from him. He has lost his Islam. He doesn't even know, because he's not aware that on these words he's just uttered, and what has come from his tongue and from his utterances, iman, leaves that person. It's very delicate. When will that person realize that? In the grave. In the grave. We don't know the hisab, the reckoning of the grave, the accountancy of the grave. Allah Ta'ala says, Alhaakumut takasir hatta zurtumul maqabir. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Allah talks about the person that he will face that challenge and the test. But when he utters stupid things, then the iman leaves the person. Rasulullah ﷺ did dua that Allah give me khawf. Give me khawf and give me fear. Allah, such a fear that it increases my fear properly and strong. Because shaitan attacks us openly. He gives us bad thoughts. He doesn't care. And we don't then care what we're saying. We just think we have the knowledge, and I am the person who knows all. So the biggest thing is iman. We need to have iman. Even if a light forever man, minute mustard seed of man, we need to protect. Okay, we're broken down, we're weak. Whatever we are, we're sinners, and we are alcoholics, and we're zani, etc. But inside us we have La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this is the asset. And we should not let this leave us. That's it. We have to protect it, preserve it. It's a great asset, the greatest asset, iman. But even then, if in this day and age we are in the day, the era of fitna, and if we don't protect even the small amount of iman we have, then we are in danger. So first step is what? To protect the heart, what do we need? We need iman, faith, belief. So alhamdulillah, the person who has iman, then he's greatest amongst the people. But then be careful, because iman is a great thing, it's a great wealth. It's the greatest wealth. The whole game is based on iman. The whole game, coming to a masjid, going on hajj, reading Quran, recitation, doing dhikr. What is this associated with? Iman. If a person doesn't have iman and he does these actions, and people do that, I've seen such people, that they will recite half of the Quran for you, hifz. He was a Christian, and he used to read the Quran, and his name was Jord, and he knew me. He said, I know the Quran. So today, those people who teach in universities, they teach Arabic, literature, and fiqh, jurisprudence, where people get degrees, PhD in deen, Islam. Who sat there? Are they alims from Deoband sitting there? Are they the people who teach? Even today, they speak Arabic fluently, the teachers. So what we realize is that these are not the qualities for success. For acceptance from Allah, Allah says you need to have iman attached to everything you're doing. Iman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever you do with iman, even if you have the minute, small scale iman, it will be accepted, your deeds. But even if you remember the Quran, you do dhikr, you do so many amal and hajj and everything, you do all these actions. But your first precondition is you don't have iman, then there's nothing. So iman is the precondition. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So now we're in the era of fitna. Everyone says, I've got iman, I protect my iman, I do it like this. No. Where do we need to go? Where do we need to turn back to? The Quran for the guidance. And the Quran, to what our pious predecessors, how they explained the Quran, their commentary of the Quran. That's what we need to grab hold of. Not that everyone, we read the Quran and we have the understanding, this verse says this. No, we have to think, who is saying this? What was the person, this pious elder said this? Who was he, where was he connected to? Alhamdulillah, then he's correct, yes, blindly follow that. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's how you'll be saved. Because this is the age of fitna. There's no need to run after every person X, Y, and Z. Yes, you'll be led astray. Led astray. So, iman. For iman, what does the Quran say you need to do? To protect iman? Amalus salihat. So, if you want to protect your iman, your faith, you have to do it via amalus salihat. righteous deeds. Say Subhanallah. So where are the righteous deeds? The Quran has explained them. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Subhanallah. That we say sunnah is nothing. This is also a fitna today. What is sunnah? There's no need for sunnah. Quran is does the Quran prove this? If the Quran isn't in, say this, show me in the Quran where's the word beard. People say, show me in the Quran where's the word do this. How many fitnas today you will hear in this day and age in this society? So what is it? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. If you want to be successful, two things you must have in your life. If you want to protect your iman, then you need to protect it with these two assets to protect your iman. With what? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Subhanallah. Allah's order in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah's order is there, but you don't implement it, nakal of Rasulullah, then there's a cross in front of that deed. Allah said, do this. Allah said, Allah did this. This is not the manner. The demonstration was given by Rasulullah. No, there's no need to do that. It says in the Quran, I'm doing it. You can't do it. There's a sect. That only this many salahs have come. Only this many rakats have said in the Quran. Only these actions turn in the Quran. There's a sect that says that only the Quran says this. We don't need to go beyond that. So what's the point I'm saying? No. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. So what is the definition of amalu salihat? The righteous deeds, that all of Allah's orders practiced in accordance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demonstration. What he said, what he did. Not just qala qala Rasulullah, but what he demonstrated physically. Subhanallah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that He is a physical demonstration for you. Example, He won't just speak. He will physically demonstrate how to sleep, how to do wudu, how to keep the fast, how to do tawaf around the Kaaba, how to perform the hajj, so that there's no doubt, no contamination in any of your actions. So there isn't any. Now this is not there forever. Oh, okay. Rasulullah, did he do this action? Did the Sahaba do this action? And 124,000, more than 100,000 Sahaba, then Tabi'in, then Taba Tabi'in, then the pious elders, then the awliya Allah. Guidance. Yes, the Imams, the Mujaddideen, all these great guides, but we still are astray because we follow our nafs, we worship our nafs, we don't want guidance, we don't want protection. Deen is very simple, but we don't want to practice deen. So iman, you need to have iman to protect your heart, and you have iman. How do you protect iman? With amalu salihat, the righteous deeds, the good deeds. Okay? But now listen to this point of tasawwuf now. Because our class is the class of tasawwuf. Yes, purification. It's not a fiqh class, is it? Jurisprudence. It's a tasawwuf class. So we can understand we're not wasting our time. So, okay, to protect heart you need iman. To protect iman is amalu salihat bad, amalu salihat fasting, hajj, zakat, all of these actions, yeah? To protect iman. But remember this point. All these amal, alongside them in parallel, you cannot attain Allah, you cannot get near to Allah and reach your destination. Doesn't matter how much you pray salah, how many hajj you perform, doesn't matter what actions you do. Doesn't matter what you do. But alongside that in parallel, to attain Allah's qurb, His nearness, you can attain it only with salah, only with hajj, only with faraid and wajibat that we do. With these, we cannot attain the nearness of Allah. We cannot get to our end point, destination. Quran is telling us this. Amlu salat, immediately Allah says, after that Allah says, ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. This is the verse of the Quran. Amalu salihat. Then Allah says, this will alone not give you success. Alongside this, you need a very important thing. ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. You need tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. Until the batin, your inner soul is not clean, you're not purified, there's no tazkiyah, your salah will not be accepted. The hajj will not be accepted. Thousands do hajj. Whose hajj is accepted? Thousands pray salah. Whose salah is accepted? What is this? ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. Allah says that you need taqwa within you. Taqwa. In the inner self. So to do tazkiyah, you must do tazkiyah in parallel. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So where's this written? We have to do this. There's nothing that is dubious or not clear. The pious predecessors, when they did tazkiyah, they made khankas. They didn't follow their desires to become a peer, a person to do this, to become a wali. It's the earnings for the hereafter. Without this, your iman cannot be complete. You cannot protect this. It's compulsory. ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. After that, all ways and forms, you must do tazkiyah of your batin. that the conditions of tazkiyah, you know what they are. Yes, wa yuzakkihim. Allah says that Rasulullah said, I came to perform your tazkiyah, to purify your souls, without which your iman will not be completed or accepted. Sometime, can a false iman be accepted? Can a munafiq iman be? If you are munafiq, in your heart there's something, on your tongue is something else, your act is physical action is something else, then will that person be accepted? No, munafiq is never accepted. Never accepted. Nifaq, hypocrisy, what is it? It's a disease inside the heart. And if you don't do tazkiyah, you're lying, backbiting, takabbur, pride, riya, showing off. All these sicknesses are within a person. And how do you eliminate them? Through salah. The salah can show you now. People mourning in the morning, at fajr time, people praying. Yes, there were people screaming, arguing here after fajr, at the time of fajr. They were screaming, arguments. Don't know, have those people praying salah since when? Tell me. Why? Because you need tazkiyah, purification. Why are you fighting? Why are you quarreling? Why is there anger? Why is there dispute here? What's happened so loudly? Why are you speaking in such a place where it's not allowed to speak in the masjid like that loudly in the time of salah? Yes, because they haven't sat down over. They said, oh, this is a game. The people, waste of time, people doing dhikr morning, evening. My brothers, given the reference of Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakir Sahib Ramta, that when you open the eyes in Qiyamah, then you realize what were the people of the Khankam, what they took as the loot. What they earned. And today we think it's a waste of time. They come in the morning, they come in the evening, they spoil the masjid, they've taken over the masjid, they don't let us do this, they don't let this person do this, they go to that masjid, they go to the masjid. What do these people know? That this is a great path. It's a great path. We are imitating. We are copying. This is a silsila, shajara, chain, authentic. I am copying my sheikh, he copied his sheikh, who copied his sheikh. Go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chain. The chain goes back. Authentic. I can show you my shajara right now, it's not mine. Yes, you can read it any time. The chain authentic. Yes, that goes back through the chain to Rasulullah. This action we do in the morning, evening, Rasulullah did himself. This is the shajra, sanad. It's an authentic chain. Permission. Just like you get the hadith, the chain of narrators. This narrator said this narrator said this narrator. And you get the reference back to who? Rasulullah. So this is the sanad, the chain. This sheikh, he got ijazah from this sheikh. He got permission from this sheikh. He gave permission. The silsila, the sanad, when ijazah is given of hadith, then it goes back. Same way in tasawwuf, you have to have ijazah, permission. Every silsila of a kamil sheikh, of a authorized, complete sheikh, he will have tarbiyah in a khanka, then he has a silsila with the signature of his sheikh, with the permission. So nobody can doubt and say he's a thief. Otherwise everyone can be a sheikh. Who are you? I'm a sheikh, I'm a teacher, I'm a wali Allah myself. Why? Because I sit at the grave, I get a kashf, I can show you people. Here I'll show you in Bolton, there are people like this who say this. I go to the grave, I get kashf and vision, I get permission. Abdul Qadir Jalani, I've got direct fares with him. People say, he says, direct I've got blessings from him. Fares is the fares that I'm telling you in the tariqah, you get the correct way, the authentic way. Yes, this is the tariqah. This person, Ibn, just like there's a family, my father, family tree, his father, going back in the centuries, isn't it? So if he says that I don't have the guarantee of my father, then if he says you don't have the knowledge of who is your father, then how can you, who is your father? He says, I don't know. Then he doesn't have the, oh, ask my mother. Mother says, I don't know myself who his father is, because there's no guarantee. He can't give it. So a person who doesn't have the father, the forefathers, what can he get? Does he have recognition? Nothing. So my brothers, silsala, authentic chain, sanad. So tasawwuf, the path of purification. Also, this is a silsila, a sanad, a chain that goes back to Rasulullah. We did zikr, my teacher taught it, his teacher taught it. All my life I spent with my sheikh, he did zikr like this. Subhanallah. So that's how I do zikr. And tomorrow you'll say, my sheikh did this zikr. Why? Because his sheikh, he did it. Fazal Ali Qureshi did it. The sheikh before him did it. Go back the centuries. Abu Bakr Sadiq did it. Yeah, Salman Farsi did it. Bayezid did it. Go back. Abu Bakr Sadiq did it. And you ask, why did you do it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Authentic chain. So if this is not written in the shajara, then that silsila is a waste. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So take the shoes out and beat that person if he doesn't have the authentic chain. No. No false claim. He cannot be the person if he doesn't have that. So this is tazkiyah. Purification. Essential. So it's stated, ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. You have to have the amal. You have the nur of iman. And your daraja is low. No problem. Start broken down salah and simple amal, simple deeds alongside that. Don't just stop that I'm successful. people stop here. Oh, salah is enough. Oh, fasting is enough. Oh, hajj is enough. This is enough what I'm doing. That's it. Oh, I don't need to go to, what's this, what the peer is saying, the teachers. We have no need for a sheikh, a teacher. I'm praying my salah. I'm doing my private. That 95 to 99% today is the deen of the people. Totally, they've eliminated. They said, we don't need tazkiyah, we don't need the sawwuf. I'm praying salah, Allah will give the blessings. So many sicknesses are present amongst the hajjis today. The people who pray salah, what name shall I give for them? That person who says tazkiyah is not important, who doesn't practice tazkiyah, he is full of deficiencies and sicknesses. He is full of the sicknesses inside, that person. Am I wrong or am I right? Tell me. Why? Why should I say wrong if the Quran is saying this? Yes, that if you don't do tazkiyah, the Quran says, then your iman is destroyed. You have to bring the taqwa inside. Taqwa needs to be attained. Khawf, work hard, take that line, take that path. MashaAllah. So iman after iman, amalu salihat, and amalu salihat, if you want them accepted, your deeds, then you have to protect the heart. To protect the heart, you need that with iman. When you have iman, then you're unique and separate from the rest of the world, because you're Muslim and he is this. End of story. And when you become a Muslim, then become the amal, the deeds. And this person is practicing, he does good deeds, he prays salah, he performs hajj. You come to that station now. When you get to that level, then you just stop at salah, and you just, the whole world today has stopped at amal. Physical, no, he prays salah. But within him, the ghost, the idols, the shaitans, who is he prostrating? He's showing the world, he lies, commits fraud, he swears, he gives wrong accusations, he has all evil within him. No akhlaqiyat, he doesn't have manners, he doesn't have character, he has nothing. Then is that, what's the benefit of that salah, tell me? Allah will ask you himself. So to improve that, thum mustaqaw, what do you have to do? You have to take hold, adopt the path of tazkiyah. You have to have the connection, the company of a wali Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not wasting your time, am I? We're not wasting our time, are we? Allah Ta'ala has taken us to this understanding. Then Allah says, beyond that in this verse. Then after that Allah says, Allah in the same verse, Amanu, Allah says, Amanu again. First Amanu came. Yes. Now Allah says that after taqwa, after amal, after the nur of iman, then Allah says again, amanu, thumma taqwa, Allah says. Subhanallah. So today you don't have that iman. It's not the same after that. That when you had iman in the beginning, then you travel on the journey. This iman now, what has come? Amalu salihat has also come. Tazki has also come. Purification has been done. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the tafsir? No. Then Allah says, this iman, the iman, Allah repeats the word. Those people who know this verse, they understand what I'm saying. Amanu thumma taqo. Allah says, now your iman has changed, now it's improved. This iman is what now? This is the high level iman that you've acquired now. High level, ilmul yaqeen, aynul yaqeen, haqqul yaqeen, you've arrived to that state. To that state. Subhanallah. Because you've done tazkiyah, purification, dhikr, fikr, your batin, your inner state. You've purified your inner soul from the diseases. You've spent time in the Sheikh's Khanka. This is our objective of doing dhikr and fikr. This is our objective. If we were to attain this, then we get success. Not just you do dhikr, you are bayah with Hazrat Sahab, you go and sat with Hazrat Sahab. No, you have to see and assess these points. After that, amanu thumma attaqo. That this iman, has it come into you? Which iman? That the Quran that we read, yes, this Quran that we recited, yes, Allah says, that I am closer to you than your jugular vein. That can anybody reject the Quran? Allah says, I'm closer to you, I'm with you, I'm next to you, Allah says. Who has yaqeen on these words? Tell me. Who has yaqeen in this, that Allah is close to us? Does anyone have yaqeen that Allah is with me, next to me? Is Allah closer to us than our jugular vein? Then if Allah is with us, next to us, then will we fear the dunya? Will he fear hunger and poverty? Will he fear the conditions around him? Just one thing, that Allah is with me, I have no need to fear anything. I will speak the haq, the truth. I will follow the path of truth. I will spread the deen. I will explain the sunnah. I have no worry about any job or any human being. I'm not afraid because ma'akum. Allah says, I'm with you, I'm watching you. I'm seeing you. He's a keen, he can see that Allah's with him. And if someone's with you, for example, I'll give you an example. You're on a journey. and you're in a jungle, a forest, and you're on your own, will you be afraid or scared? Of course you will be. And if some protector comes to you and you have guards, then will you be afraid then? No. Because you'll say, oh, I have protectors with me. I'm not afraid. Nobody can harm me. So if a person has yaqeen that Allah is with me, will he be afraid if Allah is with him? Hey, I remember an event, a beautiful event of a pious elder, pious predecessor. Everyone used to be sat there. He used to be sat there on his own. And just a person like me, who was humble. And he said, why is he sitting on his own in the corner? What's he doing? We are sat here together and he's on his own. Let me go and sit with him, a person too. So he went there. He said, Hazrat, honorable sir, everyone sat there and you're on your own. What are you doing on your own? He said, what have you said? The pious elder said, he said, you are on your own in seclusion. Look there, people are sat there talking. You are sat here on your own. There's nobody here with you. He said, say that again. What did you say? Repeat that. He said, you're on your own. He said, who said to you, I'm on my own? Say, Subhanallah. He said, who said to you, I'm on my own? He said, with me are four others. Huh? Yeah. He said, yaqeen said, four? He said, yeah, there's four. He said, how? He said, that can you see, I'm here? He said, yes. He said, the second, karamul katibin, two angels. Yes, we have yaqeen, but we don't have the belief. We know this, but we're not certain about it. If we knew that the angels here on my right and he's writing, will you lie then? For example, if you have yaqeen, belief that with me, all the time, for example, somebody's watching me, will you steal when someone's looking at you? Well, if you go into a store shop, you say, oh, let me steal this pen. Stealing, you won't steal it when you know that somebody's watching. Even the thief, when the thief knows for sure no one's watching him, then he will steal. That's when the thief steals, when nobody's watching. So we commit sins for that reason. We have told to believe that nobody's watching me. No one's writing, no one's recording. Okay, take the phone now, let's start playing games with the phone. But we have done this ourselves. Yes, we say we have belief, certainly we do sujood, prosper, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, we recite the Quran and talawat and verses, but we don't have this much yaqeen. Allah says in the Quran, the same Quran that every time we say Quran, 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 that Quran is saying that at least have yaqeen and belief and certainty. Where's your certainty? When will you get yaqeen? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا آمَنُوا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا That do tazkiyah, and you wipe away your ego and you annihilate your batin, and then you get to the yaqeen that Allah is with me, Allah is with me. Is there a difference now in the people or not? Tell me. So how does that person become like this? He says, there's four with me. There's me. There's karamun katibin. How many? He says three. And he says, my Allah is there as well. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That person said to him, I'm telling you this true event. He said, I was very dirty, impure. He said, when he told me this reply that Allah is with me, immediately he said, I became taib and I repented and my life transformed. He said, I am blind. Inside me, the eyes inside me, I can't see nothing. I'm blind. We are all blind internally. Doesn't matter how much we put strong glasses on, I can't see. I'll only see you, the world, notes and money and currency. I'll see clearly. But if Allah says, I'm with you, then if I understand, I read in the Quran, Allah says, I'm with you, if Allah is with somebody, then does he do sins and wrong actions? Evil? So what we realize is we are munafiqs. We are liars. We are hypocrites. We don't believe that Allah is with us. We don't. But when human being does these actions, the sequence, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا that you start iman, you do tazkiyah, you take company of a wali Allah with this niyah, intention, I want to improve my hereafter, I want to become a human being. When the human being sits with this intention, then what's the difference? When he comes with this niyah, then he'll make sacrifice, he'll say, this is wrong, I'm doing wrong. He'll leave this, he'll leave that, he'll leave that. Wherever he goes, he'll keep on eliminating and leaving things that are wrong. Yes, that sadiq, true, sincere person wants to attain Allah's name through tazkiyah. Say, Subhanallah. In my life, I've witnessed this. That I want to be improved. I said, you are not correct. I said, I know your background. You will not reform yourself. He started laughing. Big shot he was in the world. Big status. I said, you're lying. You don't want to be improved. Do you understand? Do you think being improved is just taking bayah, learning dhikr and go and tell people and wear the imam, keep the bayah and say, you're a Sufi? I said, this is not important. Meaning of reformation. The meaning is what the Quran says. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا That you should have yaqeen that Allah is watching you. You need to have this. Yes, otherwise you cannot say you are reformed. Then he said, okay, I have this yaqeen. I said, I will develop this. I said, Allah is watching you. Everything. You won't just become like this. I will know when you've got yaqeen, when you'll start to fear Allah, Allah is watching me. How can I commit this sin? He said, okay, I have this. He said, how much interest is in your bank? Say, Subhanallah. I said, how much interest? Big amount he had in his account. So much amount, I cannot tell you. Big businessman he was. So much sood. riba. He said, this much. I said, well, Allah is watching you. He said, if you want to be improved, then you'll have to accept Allah's words. He said, I accept. His life changed. Sudden transformation. He became a great wali Allah. And old life finished immediately. And he was recommended by the heavens. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا آمَنُوا. After that, Allah says, then your iman didn't stay the same as before. Your iman is transformed. What is the special qualities? When read the Quran again, the verse is continuing. SubhanAllah. So what specialities come to him? وَأَحْسَنُوا. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. This is Quran, my brothers. One verse can explain to you the true deen. One verse is enough. That without this, there's no deen. If we don't do tazkiyah, purification, our deen is not with us. Our salah will be a waste. Our efforts will be go to waste. People are telling you wrong that this is enough, this is enough. Nothing is enough. Enough is that what the Quran tells us. That is enough. I told you before, it's not me saying this. The Quran, you can pick the Quran up, read it, it'll explain it. Read the tafsir of the pious elders, they'll explain to you. Our people who we say our aqabirin, our pious elders, read the explanation of this verse. You'll understand it. So what does it say? وَأَحْسَنُ. Iman, simple iman. On top of that, you'd amalu salihat, righteous deeds. Then you had taqwa. With taqwa, you thumma istaqaw. Yes, then you had the high level, taqwa. Your iman goes high. Then what comes into the وَأَحْسَنُ. Then he gets to the stage of ahsan. Ahsan. Reality, which is the highest maqam. You have arrived then to that stage, Allah says. Wahsan. Here's a hadith I remember that I will share with you now. So that you can understand more clearly. An Ibn Abbas qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great hadith. Various times we've shared it. Mufassareen, Muhaddithin have written. This is a Sahih hadith. This is included amongst the Sahih hadith. That Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, we all Sahaba were present, that three qualities, if they are in a person, how many? Three qualities. If you find, if I tell you these three qualities and you find them in a human being, then for that person, three rewards descend on that person. Three rewards. Ask and remember this. For the station of Ihsan. Do you know what is Ihsan? That your iman should be such. Tell me how many percentage of this. Maybe even minus one don't have this. For a mu'min, their mu'min's iman is this. That will be accepted in Allah's court. That when you pray salah, your salah should be such as if you are seeing Allah. Yes? Your salah should be such that you feel that you are seeing Allah. We think this is a story, this hadith. This is reality. Tomorrow our iman will be measured. Pray salah, pray salah, pray salah. Pray salah, take your iman further. Go to the khanka, work hard. Make effort, elevate your iman. And keep doing test and assessing, is my iman at that level? My Rab says don't eat haram, I'm eating haram. My Rab says that this is wrong in the phone and I'm watching wrong in the phone. Where's my dhikr gone? Where's my iman? Where's my faith? I'm the worst human being. I'm deep into the wrong ways, immoral ways, the disbelieving ways. Allah says that you should do iman, ibadah as if you are seeing Allah. Allah says I'm closer to you than you jiggle away. No, I say Allah, you're not. I'm afraid of dunya. I'm afraid of the world. We are such cowards that don't ask that how we are afraid of the dunya. So then, SubhanAllah. Yes, hadith. So Ibn Abbas also narrated that what is the level of ihsan, that when you pray salah, then your real stage is that you do sajda, prostration, and it's as if you are seeing Allah and you are prostrating in the presence of Allah. This is the salah, is the miraj of the mu'min. Rasulullah said that this is the present of miraj of Abu for you. This is your miraj. I saw this in the heavens and you will see this in your sujood, prostrations. Your Nabi, what a beautiful thing he brought for you. In the sujood we see this. Look at this, that the mu'min sees this. So here many stories and events of the pious predecessors I can share with you and time will take. But understand, this is what happens. Those people whose salah is on a high level, who have worked hard, made effort in the khankas, their sujood are like this. Alhamdulillah, yes. Yes, salah, we pray salah, salah, salah. There's no greater action than salah that was given as a present in the heavens. So it's stated The hair you should feel when you are doing ibadah as if you are seeing Allah. If you can't get to that position, then it's lazim, essential, that at least you should have this feeling that Allah is watching you. That person who has the salah, then will he fight during salah? Will he quarrel with people and have fasad and disputes? Tell me, during salah. Yes, will they be playing games at the time? No, a person's not even with himself at the time of salah. When he's praying salah, he has no awareness that he's with Allahu Akbar. Then such an injection of unconsciousness comes to that person when he starts salah. Am I right or am I wrong? We say this in Fazail Amal, so many hadith about this, about salah. The person that the sahabi, his leg was to be amputated, he started salah and it happened. They were engrossed in salah. And that, for example, if you were your leg to be amputated, would you do that? That he's a Muslim. Are you not a Muslim? He recited kalima. Have you not recited kalima? The Quran said about those people, that subhanAllah, that the people after you, they're going to eat chickens and say halal and haram, etc. There have been nothing else in the name of Islam. Everything, a fashion and a tradition. And just the cultures and traditions, Ramadan and this and that. All of our deen today is a tradition and culture. We don't look before us, what date's coming, or this tradition, do this dua, put the lights off, do this, do that. That's it. That's all that's left in our deen today. Yeah, Laylatul Qadr has come, Quran khatam, switch the lights off, do dua, and the food after that, and that's the gathering. And we're forgiven. And that's it, one dua, and everyone's forgiven that. Wow, subhanallah. May we be sacrificed for this deen and this iman. Amazing this is for me. Amazing to think this. Either I'm mad or these people are mad. Is this not what's happening today? Maybe what I'm saying is a bit bitter for you, but this is what the Quran says. We have to work hard, effort, mujahidah, reality. Yes? So, is this it? That just do a few small actions, switch the lights off, do dua and everything accepted. First, reform yourself inside. How can the dua be accepted just by dimming the lights? You have to reform yourself to get the duas, not by switching off the lights to get the duas accepted. No. Open your heart. Unravel your heart. Purify it, then the dua is accepted. Subhanallah. Yes. Don't fall into the games and the dramas. So what was I saying? Yes, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Hadith. Ahsanu. What is the station of Ihsan? The feeling of Ihsan, the Muslim achieves the station, the level of Ihsan. How? Ibn Abbas said that when three qualities come within a person, what qualities? Who will have these? With taqwa, with mujahida, with working hard. When you have three qualities, then three rewards Allah sends. I feel like I share with you what are those qualities and what are those rewards. Subhanallah. Shall I tell you? You're truthful, you want that, put your hands up if you want to know. So that I can work hard to explain to you. Say subhanAllah. You are understanding with your heart, isn't it? What I'm saying. Yes. Even if you feel bad and you think it's bitter, don't consider it bad because I'm the worst sitting here. Yes. But to improve myself, I'm very happy that alhamdulillah, Allah is allowing me to speak the truth. And my defects are coming out. My defects are coming out. Alhamdulillah. Yes, because a person becomes happy when this happens. If you ask somebody what's your destination, if you go on this path, it's hard, it's a hard route, but you'll get there, turn this way, that you'll be happy, won't you? That, alhamdulillah, I'm happy that I got this guide, he told me I'm so happy and grateful to you that you've told me how to get to my destination. In the same way, when you have Islah, be happy. SubhanAllah, it's hard, you're distressed, but at least you can see the path to get there, can't you? You can see the path. It's difficult, but you can see it. Aha. So he said that there are three qualities. The Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, became alert. They said, may our mother and father be sacrificed. Ya Rasulullah, please tell us what are those qualities. What are those, how they were greedy for the deen. Allah Ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhu, I am happy with you. Go, I've opened Jannah for you, O Sahaba. They are saying, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, we want to become like this. Which verse is there? But is there anyone like this today who's desperate? Who in his heart he has the desire, passion, I like these qualities that Rasulullah has prescribed, I want them as well. No, we are all worried about, oh, I want this dua, that dua. This is the real deen. The Sahaba, they were alert. Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, which three qualities? Brothers, will you try on these? Say, inshallah. Inshallah. So the first habit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives you a ni'mah, a treasure, then you should be grateful for that ni'mah that Allah gives you. Subhanallah. Yes, how do we develop that? Allah ta'ala has told us that as well in the Quran. How? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَوْا with تَزْكِيَةً تَزْكِيَةً. Yes, you do tazkiyah, then you get to the next level, then iman, it improves, it becomes to yaqeen, certainty, get promoted. ثُمَّ تَقَوْ Then وَأَحْسَنُ Then you get this maqam of ahsan, that he knows how to do shukr at that time. Subhanallah. That me and you, how did we know how to do shukr? How to do shukr? How to be grateful? What is our shukr? This much money in our shop. Oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you. 100,000 pounds has come today. I'm grateful to Allah. That's when we're grateful. When we get a big house, oh Allah, I'm grateful to you, Allah. I'm so grateful you give me a house. Mubarak, congratulations. Oh, got a boiler. Oh, I got a visa. Oh, my wife and kids, visa from America. Allah, we're grateful to you. We give sacrifice of goats and sheep. This is our gratefulness to Allah. And for the worldly things. And how are those people, the pious people of Ahsan, how are they grateful to Allah? They have dry chapati. They have a glass of yogurt drink. The sea. And with 10 times ever after every musal, Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, I'm grateful to you. Give me this dry bread and chapati. Allah, I'm hundreds of thousands, millions of times grateful to you. Allah, you give me bread in this form. And that's not bread from his eating the bread of Jannah, paradise. Subhanallah, he is grateful person. This is the grateful person to Allah. That every ni'mah Allah gives, everything he sees in the world that Allah has given to him, he considers a ni'mah of Allah. Everything he has, whatever it is, big or small, glass of water, juice, whatever he's drinking, any drink, a glass of water, simple, inside a cup made of mud, clay, taken out of the well. I've seen this with my eyes. I'm not saying wasteful things to you. We have big dastarkhwan, food mat. We used to have chickens and food. But when I used to go to those people who were servants, I used to sit with them. My quality was different. My style was different. I sat with them. Until today, they remember me and they love me. Those people, the workers, the servants, that's my style. I used to sit with them. I used to spend time with them. I used to sit with them and eat the food. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. 100%. I had no care, someone says to me, why are you sitting here? Oh, don't sit with these people, they're the workers, etc. That they were my friends, my colleagues. And what did I feel with them? There's so much, after eating so much good food, and that, for example, we don't even say once that we say, oh, there's not enough salt, I don't enjoy the food, the korma wasn't cooked like this, I don't like this, the khichdi dal wasn't made good like this, ingredients weren't there, the meat was less, or this spice was less. Thousands of excuses. And those people, mashallah, afternoon time, and he sat on the tree breaks the dates. Some were ripe, some were not ripe, and he brings them down with his cloth and with the dates that he's just taken off the tree. And there was a well there, he took the water out of the well and he brought the dry bread and he had tied it to his waist, and he took the bread, took one onion out, and he hit the onion with his fist, broke the onion with the chapati, and then he had the dates, sweet dish and water, and said, Allah, millions of times grateful to you, millions of times grateful to you, Allah. And from the tears come from the eyes when you see such a scene. We think that what we've got, we're grateful for that. This is shukr. Whatever Allah gives you, you're grateful. If He doesn't give to you, you're grateful at the same time. Why? Because Allah, if you gave me too much money, I have the yaqeen and the belief. What was not in my destiny, if I had got that, for which I'm crying and begging Allah, why am I like this? Why don't I have money? But I believe Allah, most definitely it would have taken me to such a station in the akhirah that I would have fallen into Jahannam. Whatever you give Allah, however you keep me in the world, whatever conditions and surrounds you give me Allah, 100% you are right, and I'm happy with your hikmah and wisdom, and I'm grateful to you for what you've given to me. So when will this be developed, my brothers? When you have friendship with a person who does shukr in the same way, with your heart, your friendship, not munafiq friendship, that you take his hand and in your heart there's hypocrisy. Oh no, he's talking rubbish. Oh, he's fuzool. He's a waster. Oh, he's too strict. Oh, he's lying. Oh, he's telling us wrong. No, if you have a friend, if he's a wali Allah, when you take his hand, then in your heart 100% believe that the hand of this friend of Allah I'm taken, this hand is going to Medina. And this way I'm getting the guidance from. Then you see how you get the right tarbiyat. The right tarbiyat. This is the iman you should have on the journey. That is there anyone who doesn't have distress? Well, the world is a place of distress and problems. It's only Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. Look at the condition around us. Look at that person. He's in hardship. His children, they're eating, they're drinking. He came to the house. Aisha, Rasul Sam came. Aisha? Yes, Sartaj, my master, Ya Rasulullah, please give me water. Is there anything to eat? As Aisha is saying, Ya Rasulullah, there's nothing to eat, there's no food. Is there anything to drink? No, there's nothing to drink. Any dates? No, dates are finished. Nothing left at this time? Nothing. Okay, fine, I'll make the intention for fast then. Fasting. Subhanallah. And then he goes out, didn't complain, didn't make noise. Didn't say in sajda, Allah, you didn't give me today, give me tomorrow, Allah, give me the day after. Even if it came, then he didn't keep it to himself, even that he distributed. Why? Why did Rasulullah do this? Why the Holy Prophet? Because he came as an example that we should do the same. The Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the actions he did, when we say he was a prophet of Allah, only he could do it, he was elevated, we can't do this. Even today's intellectual people, the people of fitna, they say this way, he was the Nabi, he was the prophet of Allah, he was the Wali Allah, they could do this, we're not capable, he was Sahabi, they were pious, we can't do that. We make this criticism. Yes, he was the prophet of Allah, there's no doubt. Yes, he was the greatest, but all the actions that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did and demonstrated, he showed to us, and we are capable of doing the same. We are able to do those actions, those same actions he demonstrated to us. Whatever we could not do, for that Rasulullah said, beware, you cannot do those actions, only I can do these actions. Are there hadiths for those or not? Tell me. Are there such actions he did? The Sahaba Akram said, you cannot do this, let me do these. That, let me pray Salah here. You can't pray like this. You can't do this. So what we learn is that Rasulullah did so much over and above what we do. He said, my heart is alive, my eyes are open. The eyes do not sleep. They do not go, do not close. I'm awake. Yes, but don't look at my worship, said Rasulullah. Don't look at my being awake. But the actions that I demonstrate to you, do those. And those things I tell you that are not common for the common man, don't do those things. So Rasulullah, that we cannot do those actions, he would say, leave this, you cannot do this, you're not capable. These were just for me to do. He prescribed that and explicitly told us that. But the rest of the actions he demonstrated, we should do them and we must do those actions. So, poverty, not having wealth, we will have people, we will have severe conditions, and today, tomorrow, if the petrol pumps close down, just like Corona came, something else will happen, a disease can spread or poverty can come. Don't think all the time that you're in England and you are the ones who eat the most and we're richest. Remember what I'm saying. Hey, such poverty can come, such hardship can come, that you cannot imagine it can come. Remember what I'm saying. That this is a muflis country, there's nothing here. And the country that you've left, there are treasures upon treasures there. Treasures upon treasures. Treasures upon treasures are there. Look at your lands, what lands are there. Such ploughing of lads, go and stand there, you are people of the villages, such milk that your animals give, and here can you get real milk in bottles, how milk has come from before, pasteurized hair, and this and that, tell me, it's not original, but all these things, these artificial hair, there's nothing original, genuine. My brothers, here, you poverty, such poverty can come here, but Allah's Nizam system is running, they're here, we've run here for this reason. That nobody ran here for deen. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. Nobody came here for deen. Nobody ran here for the deen. We came here to leave the deen. We came to sell the deen here. Yes, we came here to bargain our iman. Yes, to barter with it. Here we came here to detach ourselves from the deen. My words, these are the words I'm saying. It's haqq, the truth. This is what Rasulullah said. Why? Subhanallah. That if you think that Allah Ta'ala is with you, then speak the truth. Don't be afraid of anybody. Say the haqq, the truth. So we come here for eating, drinking, we're happy eating cake, eating this, we're giving people money, but this is nothing. Remember what I'm saying. Here, poverty comes here, and you will not be able to handle it. If petrol pumps close down, oil closes, then you will not be able to control the situation. Even there you will be saved, the country that you've left. Even then you'll be able to survive. There are many things to eat with the fazl of Allah. There are trees that you can sit under the tree and you can eat everything. There's natural things there. Resources. Am I right or am I wrong? Yes, here we are satisfied and happy. We are safeguarded and we've got everything. We've got cars and there's no worry. And we have left our mothers and fathers. We've left our homes and families and brothers and sisters. Such mothers who've died, our fathers have died. We don't even know where they've gone, where they didn't go. We haven't served anyone. We've done no actions for them. Those who mothers and fathers, even they disobeyed. They stand and swear at them. Oh, go away, you dad. Who are you? Who are you? You didn't bring me up. Father, he says to his mother, who are you? To father, not one, thousands of examples I can give to you, how they disrespect their parents. Thousands of examples. Openly swearing to their mother and father, daughters. Openly, there's nothing to control them. Their tongues, they study, parda, they're just hidden from the reality. So my brothers, is stated, yes, to be grateful. First quality, of the person who's on the station of Ihsan. Remember the subject? There are three qualities if you develop within you, then see the three rewards that Allah will give to you. Yes, that was what we're talking about. Praise Allah, praise Allah, praise Allah. Yeah, so look at what deen is teaching us, not what we think is deen. Tazkiyah. I told you tazkiyah, how you attain tazkiyah in the company of the Wali Allah. So this is how we should be grateful. When you are grateful in this way, then Allah will give the reward. Second quality. At this moment in my mind, my mind is not there fully. Shukr. Being grateful. After that, so three qualities we need to develop. First, develop the quality of being grateful. Secondly, is that inside us, revenge. We have deep buried within us the waba, the diseases inside us. People who are abids and zaids inside them, they have this deep-rooted disease. I'm not going to leave this person. I'm going to take revenge on this person. I'm going to get him back. He said this to me. Watch me get this person. Day and night, anger, revenge, and getting someone back on something. Intiqam, fire. There are two fires within a person. Two fires. Your brother, sister, mother, children, you fight, quarrel. He said this to me. Watch me what I do with that person. Yes, somebody, for example, came and parked outside your house. Whoa, I'm going to get him back. What will I do to that person? How did he park outside my house? Allah, what does he say? If you know that he has done bad to you, this person has done zulm to you, oppression, oppressed you, and you know that he has done unjustified zulm against you, and that unjustified he is destroying you, saying wrong against you, speaking against you, impermissible, and you have ilm and you know that he is wrong, you know that you are okay, and you're in that position that you can take revenge on the person that he said bad against me, he spoke nonsense about me, he is disrespecting me, and he is putting me down, and there's fire in my heart against him, and he's my enemy, and you know that you can do wrong against him. And you can take revenge on the person. Physically, you're capable of taking revenge. And you can destroy that person. But. Because after doing tazkiyah, your iman became what? ثُمَّ التَّقَوْ. What iman do you have? You say, Allah, yes, I can do everything against this person. I'm capable. But due to your love, Allah, for your sake, I forgive this person. Subhanallah. Who has taught us these things? Makkatul Mukarramah is conquered. In the history of mankind, we cannot get this history. Until today, you cannot get, nor in the future will you get this. The zulm the people of Makkah did against Rasulullah, the Holy Prophet, and again his relatives, and himself, Rasulullah has told us this. I cannot think. The journey of Taif, I cannot forget. 2 years of imprisonment, I cannot forget, he said. And when the women used to throw the rubbish on me, I cannot forget. The intaha of zulm. And when he went back to conquest of Makkah, announcement, the biggest enemy, he named his name, Rasulullah said, whoever takes refuge in his home, I will forgive him also. Subhanallah. This is Islam. We think Islam, people who criticize us, which kitabs have we learnt Islam from? Look at Rasulullah's character and learn Islam. Don't look at the thieves. Who look at those people who have do amal on the character of Muslim, and they're the real Muslims. You see 4 Muslims around you, you start lying, swearing Islam. Look at this person, this person, this one, and you think Islam's wrong? Nauzubillah, saying wrong against Islam, criticizing Islam. Oh, people that don't look at today, the people around you, why is your mind gone downhill? Why are you giving all of your life and the deen away just for silly examples? That a person's capable of taking revenge, that he's not saying it to say to anyone or to tell anyone. Himself, he says to Allah, that Allah, you give me strength. I can take revenge on this world. I can destroy him within a minute. But my Mawla, why should I do that? Why should I do dua for him? That Allah give him hidayah. Because my Nabi taught me this trait and quality. And when insan's iman is made and developed, I said to you, ahsanu, then iman makes him happy on acting like this. Like he can take revenge, but he says, today I enjoyed myself. That people say, oh, I'm happy today, I took revenge on him, I'm happy. But the other person who's got iman on ahsan stage, he said, I'm so happy today and satisfied, at peace in my heart, because I've forgiven this person. My heart is happy because I've forgiven my enemy today. Whether he knows right or not. So two qualities, shukr and forgiving, not taking the revenge. And the third quality, two qualities have come, shukr and not taking revenge, and anger. Third one, you're filled with anger on the tip of the nose. Yes, If someone says something, immediately you will stare at him. If someone horns at you, immediately you will get to argue. Who are you? Tell me. You'll start arguing with that person. The anger, then you will fulfill the anger on small things in the house. Why are divorces? Why are there quarrels and arguments? Why are houses destroyed? Why are children destroyed? Why are the houses split up? Why are there quarrels? Anger. Anger. Yes, anger. And this is nothing. Ask those people who have iman of ahsanu, subhanallah. The person who has developed his iman, corrected his iman, protected his iman. Do they get anger? Do they get anger? Subhanallah. I've never seen my Hazrat in the state of anger. Never. Never. One time came that from here, some people went against me. Against me. Just like here, people against me here, they swear against me. Yes, there, he was this, he did this, he's this, he said this, he's deceived people, he's done fraud, he has run, he's done this and that. Negatives. So those people at that time were against me as well, at that time. Yes, they stayed, and even now they're against me, and there's still people against me. So they said, oh, this man, let's correct him. Where's his sheikh? Let's go to his sheikh. Imagine how people are enemies to me, how people keep enmity to me. I swear by Allah, I'm sat in the masjid. In my heart, I have no enmity with anybody. Not an atom's way. I swear by Allah, it doesn't even come. Sometimes I say in anger, that, yeah, this person's against me, he's an enemy, but I have no feelings of negative against anyone. This is the barakah of Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. Person like me, a dirty person like me, I get no anger against my enemies, people who are against me. I have no negative feelings against those people who oppose me. I'm telling the truth, I'm sat in the masjid. In the masjid, I don't know what is it. What causes, I said that, there's this a sense inside me. Yes, a sixth sense that people speak against me. People say, give the reply. I say, no, leave it. It's okay. No need. What's the point of replying to those? It's a khair. Allah will do good. There's no anger. No enmity. So they said, those people against me, that this man, we're not going to leave him. Well, so they bought tickets from him, plane tickets. They took their plane tickets. They traveled to Pakistan. They arrived. They traveled, because very far is Ghadai Sharif. My sheikh's town, Dera Ghazi Khan, the city, then from there you have to travel to Ghadai Sharif. It's difficult. It's a remote village. So when they arrived there, they spent money, they bought a ticket, they traveled, they go to Hazrat Sahib, Zohar time. And it's special, the Noor, time of Noor and light at the time of Zohar. I've seen many great things at that time in Hazrat Sahib's company. And Hazrat Sahib passed away at that time as well. I used to think that most verily, Subhanallah, Hazrat used to be at the heights at the time of Zohar, spiritually. I saw a beautiful, unique thing at that time. Once I saw the Hazrat Sahib, it was Zohar time, when there's a lot of Noor in his company, and I was sat there, and Hazrat Sahib stood. And I saw him, suddenly, and Subhanallah, his height started to increase. This is Kashf of Hazrat, I'm showing you a karamat, miracle of Hazrat. I was afraid suddenly, I thought maybe, then I looked again. And Hazrat Sahib was so beautiful, and mashallah, his height was normally naturally short, but it started to increase, and so beautiful, Hazrat Sahib's height extended. High, tall. And then he did talawat, he recited the Quran, subhanallah. I tell you, such talawat recitation of the Quran, that until today, I've never heard talawat like that in my life. I was afraid, and then I closed my eyes suddenly at that time, subhanallah. And I started to think, where am I? And then I thought, that's it. So this is the great miracles of the walis of Allah. Different appearances. It was Zohar time, especially at that time. Hazrat was at the heights of spirituality. And that was the time when he passed away. So at that time of Zohar, he was sat, those people arrived there to the company of Hazrat Sahib. And Hazrat was silent. There was one, and there was maybe one or two special disciples. Or they said, we've come from London, Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat suddenly put himself together. Oh, obviously that he had a murid, Hazrat had a murid here in the UK, maybe that those people had come from me. So Hazrat said, oh, you've come from Manchester. They said, yes. Yes, what is it? Hazrat said to them, is there some, shall I make some food? They said, no food. They started talking their nonsense. Oh, he's this, he's like this, and we have a sect, another group, and he's deceiving people, taking them astray, this, that, there are false accusations. And we are lovers of Rasulullah. First, Hazrat kept on listening, stayed silent, they kept on speaking nonsense and rubbish. Hazrat didn't say nothing. When they stood, and people, the Hazrat, they said, Hazrat, the Hazrat's murid said, shall we get hold of them? Hazrat said, no, don't say nothing to them. Then they said, we are ashiks of, we are lovers of Rasulullah. You people don't know what is ishq, they said. When he said this, then Hazrat Sahib looked, those people who were next to Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat Sahib suddenly jalal overcame, passion overcame Hazrat Sahib. And one statement, Hazrat Sahib said, you are Ashiq-e Rasul, you are lovers of Rasul, your people are lovers of, you don't even know what is ish. When Hazrat Sahib said this with his hand, then they had ran away from the masjid, they scarpered, they all ran away. Just like that, immediately, Allah knows best, such a current, they ran away, like a strike. So this is how the enmity goes to that extent. Yes, the enmity is not a small thing, anger is not a small thing. A person will go to extreme lengths to fulfill his enmity. That desperate is a person to take revenge, because the person goes mad with anger. Mad, but ahsanu, when you get to the station, be man, what is the condition of that person? Who is on the position level of ahsan? Allahu Akbar, that he doesn't go to the fire of anger. When he sees anger, then he is coolness and they are calm and tender more. And they adopt more tenderness and calmness. And they love that person who's angry against them. And further, in their own heart they say, the anger, to swallow the anger is a big thing. They swallow the anger and they say, Allah, that I can fulfill my revenge and take out revenge, and I can take out the revenge and reply to this anger. And I don't talk about outside. Sometimes in there's a lot of anger on the wife and the children. Why didn't you do this? You put too much salt in it. Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? And openly, we think we can abuse them, take our anger out of them. And there Allah Ta'ala gives Jannah to a person who controls and suppresses his anger. When he forgives his wife, there are many events like this. They leave it, forget it. Today I forgive her and tomorrow Allah will forgive me. Why take out anger on her? When a person's mizaj becomes like this, then he doesn't see the anger within him. And he changes it to tenderness, to calmness and to coolness. Then three rewards descend. Where from? From Ahsanu. I'm giving you tafsir, tashri'i of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's hadith I'm presenting to you. When he has these three qualities, then three rewards descend. He has shukr. He learns how to be grateful to Allah. I explain. And he learns how to not take out revenge on person. And he knows how to control his anger, how to control it. When these three things automatically develop within him, in this way, he suppresses anger. He has no anger. There's no anger. Totally. He doesn't even understand. People say, "Yaar, amazing. He has no anger. The people keep on abusing him and he has no anger within him. He doesn't take the anger out on people. And even if he does get angry, immediately he forgives. He has no anger. It doesn't stay. It doesn't remain. End of story. So when these three things come, the Allah's Nabi says, then three rewards Allah Ta'ala bestows, assigns. Shall I read the verse for this? Then you get the tashri'. وَحَسَنُ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Subhanallah. When these three qualities come, where does it start from? Iman. After Iman, Amalus Salihat. Then we attach that with Amalus Salihat, righteous deeds. You get Taqwa, gives the elevation with Tazkiyah. And when with Tazkiyah, you do Tazkiyah, purification, you take it to the Maqam of Ahsan, the Iman. And when you get to the Maqam, a level of Ahsan, after arriving there, these three qualities that are generated within you, being grateful, shukr, to not take out revenge, and to suppress that anger and change it to coolness, because you change within. When you change, then Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Jibreel, come, come, eh, Jibreel. Allah Ta'ala calls Jibreel alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Ya Allah. Allah says, go announce in the heavens that this person who sat here, Allah says, I've made him my beloved servant. Subhanallah. So this is called Sufism. Yes. This is called Tazkiyah. This is the definition that we've been discussing today. Allah Ta'ala announces by Jibreel alayhi salam, the go announce in the heavens to the angels, announce them, go to the earth and announce to every leaf, to every form of nature and creatures and creation. Every piece of makhluk recognizes that wali of Allah after that. Allah's wali, such great big scorpions of Medina. I'm talking about the older days in Medina. Hazrat Sahib, when he used to sleep, his mattress, he used to sleep on a straw mat. And when he used to clean under the mat, the big scorpions of Medina, they're famous because it's in the wilderness. I'm telling you the karamat of Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. He used to sleep on the straw mat. And the attendant used to clean. He said, Hazrat, you've got scorpion spiders under. He said, no, they don't say nothing to me. Hazrat Sahib said, that I am the guest of Sarkar, Rasulullah. Do you understand? He said, these scorpion spiders, they don't say nothing to me. I am a solid guest of Rasulullah. This is the words of my sheikh, I'm telling you. He recognized. The spiders recognize him, the scorpions. I was once on a journey. Once I went to and stayed in a hotel. And it was a hotel, a house of somebody. And you know they have in the guest house, you know, the air conditioning unit. And in that, a pigeon used to come. You know, they sit in the vent, you know, in the opening. And they used to make a lot of noise. Then don't let me sleep in the afternoon. And I said by joking, look, pigeons, I'm the guest of Rasulullah. From tomorrow, if you come here, I have to go and give salam to Rasulullah. Then I'll go and complain to Rasulullah about you. Wallahi. Yeah, I used to speak like this. I said that. I swear after that, they didn't even know, they didn't even make a noise after that, those pigeons. And I was ashamed that I pestered them. Yaqeenan, Masurli, I said, forgive me pigeons, you can have as much noise as you want, because you are the pigeons of Medina. And even then I had put my bedding together, I was afraid, oh, I said, I've upset them, I've made a mistake, I've disturbed them, the pigeons. But from there, subhanAllah, the noise didn't come from there anymore. So how can you say that the creatures don't recognize the guests of Allah? They come and you go to say salam, then do you think Rasulullah doesn't know? Do you think the Prophet doesn't know though who is come, my guest, what I have to do for this person? So many events I could share with you. But we don't know that Allah is with us and that the deen is with us. We have no awareness that Allah is with us. So how will we recognize that Rasulullah is with us? That we say, oh, he gets ilmul ghaib, he's got knowledge, hazir, nazir, spiritual. We say many claims. But have we ever thought of how to get to the level of hazir, nazir? Have you ever seen him? Have you felt that presence? If you know Hazir Nazir, then do you destroy the sunnahs like this? Do you consume haram like this? Do you do the wrong like this? When you have this low level of yaqeen, then what right do you have to say that you are Hazir Nazir? You have the knowledge of only that person has the right to say Hazir Nazir, that totally 100% he understands that those are actions, that he's afraid of Rasulullah that much, that he is seeing my deeds. How can I do this wrong? SubhanAllah. This is called ishq and love for Rasulullah. What a big deception today. What a big hypocrisy. Then what do we say? And we do totally the opposite. Just to create the quarrels and disputes, we made the traditions and the cultures. Yes, just to create arguments and disputes and sects and groups. So, three rewards of Allah descend. The first reward, SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi Sallam is saying to his Sahaba, noble companions, that Rasulullah said that whoever has done tazkiyah and protected his mind, my brothers, do this. This is the definition of deen. So what will happen? SubhanAllah. First reward, Allah's Nabi said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ajeeb, unique, fantastic hadith this is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that individual, Allah will give that person protection in his lap. In his lap. Amazing hadith this is. Allah will give that person protection in his lap. What a great example this is. A great scene. How? That just like the mother takes the child in her lap. Tell me the child is so secure and at peace then. Even a fly cannot sit there. The mother wipes it away. A mosquito cannot bite the child. Nothing dares to give loss and pain. Because the mother takes the child in the lap and hugs it. Presses it close. Totally protected is the child in that. Isn't it? The child in the lap. So if Allah says that you are in my lap, then how protected is that human being? Tell me. How protected, how secure will that human being be? Nothing can give him pain, him or her. Can anyone give him loss? That's why Allah's walis, nobody could give them loss or pain or afflictions. You can try your best, but no loss can be afflicted on a wali Allah. Until today, have you heard that wali Allah was given pain until Allah Ta'ala didn't desire, wanted. You can lie as much you want, accuse as much you want, but your own face will be black, but nothing will happen to that wali Allah. I tell you, you can try it. So what happened? Allah says that I will take that person into the protection of my lap. Second reward. Lot of explanation I can give on this tashri, but time is short. Second reward Allah gives. Allah says that I will enshroud you in the cloak of my mercy. Allahu Akbar. What a reward. Just for what? That if you leave giving, taking revenge and you learn how to be grateful and you suppress your anger. Anger's on the tip of your nose. Even on the words of your sheikh, you don't accept. Why did my sheikh say that you can't stay here? Why did my sheikh say you can't go there? Why did my sheikh say you can't do this action? On that you are angry and your heart is upset. What I wanted to do, why didn't he allow me to do that? Is this tazkiyah? Is this purification? Think for a second. Brothers, Allah and His Rasul, you are angry on their words. Why did Allah give us deen like this? Why did Allah Ta'ala, why didn't He do what I wanted? Why is He against what I want? I pray salat, tahajjud, etc. Why is Allah doing this? Why is that person sick? Why is that person healthy? Why is it he got rizq and why is he got rizq? Then we say, this is what? That whatever you've got, whatever condition you're in, Allah says, so the first reward you get is that you get protection in my lap. And secondly, I enshroud you in the cloak of my mercy. I enshroud you, encloak you, I surround you, that when you come into my protection, that human being is such that nothing in his life, he never remembers sin, he becomes an upright, righteous person. And never by chance, maybe as a human being commits a sin, maybe Allah says, then I hide you within my rahmah. Allah says, I do such sattari that none of your sins arrive to the human beings. Oh, you are forgiven beyond forgiven. that none of your sins are shared amongst the human beings. Doesn't matter where you are, in this world or Qiyamah, Day of Judgment, Day of Resurrection, Judgment, Court, whatever. But your sins are hidden within my Rahmah, Allah says. Subhanallah. What a great reward. Allah says, I protect you in my lap and I enshroud you with my mercy. So this is Allah's rewards Allah Ta'ala gives to the human being. My brothers, this is called tazkiyah. This is tazkiyah, purification. We need to live our lives in this way. May Allah Ta'ala accept today's gathering majlis. Such words that I have shared with you are beautiful words and statements proven from the Quran that our iman, faith, we need to expand it, strengthen it, increase it. Iman increases, multiplies. I'm praying salah, I'm just praying salah, that's the end of story. No end of story. Keep on increasing, multiplying, improving. Take your iman to ahsanu, station of ahsan, that we should have yaqeen that Allah is with us, Allah is close to me. That your fear should go, the khawf should go, Allah's love should improve, increase. This is becoming the beloved servant of Allah. And the third reward, I haven't even told you, have I? I said to you, there's three rewards, isn't it? The third reward, yes. The third reward, what I was to say to you, is the first reward, that Allah takes you into protection of His lap. Secondly is Allah's mercy. And third, Allah announces, أَدْخَلُوا مَا فِي مُحِبِّينَ. Subhanallah. أَدْخَلُوا مَا فِي مُحِبِّينَ. These are the words of the hadith. That the third reward of mine is this, that I've announced, Allah says, that I have selected this person for what? For my mahbubiyat, for my belovedness. He is now my beloved servant. Allah announces this. Allah announces. These are those people who called Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Khwaja Muhinuddin Chishti, Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Hazrat Ali Murtada, Fazal Ali Qureshi, Shaykh Al-Hadith, Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. These are those people in those generations, eras who attained this level through effort, and look at their destination, Jannatul Baqi. Subhanallah. Jannatul Baqi. It wasn't just salah that they gave up after that. No, they improved themselves within. And they did tazkiyah. We have to do tazkiyah. I have to assess myself. Have I got shukr in my life? Has anger left me? Do I take revenge on people? Three qualities. That's when a person can say, Alhamdulillah, my tazkiyah is correct. My dhikr is correct. My majlis is, I'm attending. I'm doing good. And there's nothing to be scared of. Very simple to get this. Very simple. That we have to follow in accordance to Rasulullah's explained technique. We have iman, then we do amal, then take the hand of a wali Allah. After taking his hand, whatever he says, start working hard on whatever he tells you. That's it. End of story. End of story. And within you will be improved, reformed. Not today, tomorrow, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Even if you die, then what will happen? Sai mashkura. That it says, leave him, take him to Jannah. Why? Because he was a student, he was working hard, he was trying, no problem. At least he was studying, he was going to the class, at least he was attending, at least he was sitting with the sheikh, he was weak, then he'd go in the night, then he'd look at his phone, then he'd do wrong, then he would lie. Allah's rahmah mercy is azim. At least he was a student, learning, go, send him to Jannah. Because whoever you used to love, go to your sheikh, go to him in Jannah. Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa sallam. So we shouldn't lose hope, shouldn't give up, that I can't do this. Every second there's success, if you are following the straight path. That's it. Recite the Durood Sharif.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطفنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Ya hayyu ya kayyum biramdi ganasai La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zulmi Rabbana la tazigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab Ya musarrifal qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم صابنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات احتاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.